Wait a minute. Apparently recording is in progress.
It's a trophy.
And it's welcome back to the land of virtual quarterback.
It could be that or it could be Lala. Who knows for sure?
Can you hear? That's my my canine companion who thinks there's somebody out front here. However, that's the upside of live TV.
Yes, the one time that the phone rings is usually at the most inopportune. Anyway, it stopped ringing now.
So, how was your holidays?
Well, it wasn't too bad. We had a nice visit with some friends and. Then the weather turned cool. I think we're at a balmy 12 degrees. Not supposed to warm up until towards the end of the week, but that's okay too. It'll help the fires that are burning out west here.
Yeah, it's apparently there was suggestion arson was played a part in those fires.
Wow, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, well, a couple people were arrested by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. But, you know, it's always interesting that when there's an election on, suddenly there's fires that take up the time of the incumbent premier.
Yeah, well.
Say. But it is what it is. While you were away in other lands, we in Canada have a new passport coming up.
Yes, I saw that.
And, yes.
I was quite impressed that it came with that box of thick crayons so you can color it in yourself.
Yeah, Crayola crayons come with it. Of course, people will say, you guys are, what's the word I'm looking for?
Overreaching, overreacting?
Overreacting, yeah. Well, if you looked at the responses by people who looked at this passport design with the front cover, basically they just jumbled around the front cover so that the elements of the old front cover were just in different places, and they added a little half a maple leaf outline on the front cover. So artistically, I would say, okay, fine, if that makes you happy, but really, the two excuses that were made for spending a lot of money to upgrade this passport was that there was concern with fraud and counterfeiting. Now, my first question was, it's the first I hear of it, if there was so much fraud and counterfeiting of the Canadian passport, how come there's nobody in front of a magistrate somewhere? Or what, where's the evidence of that fraud?
Yeah.
But because he never offered any of that, he simply said that's what they were doing. And the second part, which of course is interesting for those of us who have to pay for these things, i.e. taxpayers, is how much is this new passport going to cost, and who got the contract for this new passport?
Yeah
Because if it's like the app that we so dearly like to talk about during COVID, that seems to have now been swept under the rug here. $75 million was basically, it's gone. Just don't worry about it. But,
well, I did see on our trip back that they're still trying to flaunt the app where they customize it now. So you can do your customs declaration inside the ArriveCan app now.
So?
We didn't have a problem at all. We never used the ArriveCan app, and we were in and out through customs almost like that. Well, border services, yeah.
Yeah, well, the long and the short of it is, this to me is, apart from the esoteric issues that were flaunted by the folks who were so proud to show that people can fish in Canada and they can ski and rake up leaves and do all kinds of stuff, and at the expense of removing sort of national historical treasures that were in the passport, Vimy Ridge, Terry Fox, and there's lots of other ones,
Great Parliament. Cup, Stanley Cup,
I mean, So the long and the short of it is, I don't understand this. And of course, the argument that one person of a political persuasion says, well, you know, it's like a promotion of Canada's lifestyles. Now, apart from border guards, customs people, or immigration people see this passport, who else would you show this passport to promote Canadian lifestyles and tourism and whatever? I mean, when's the last time a passport was used as a travel brochure?
Well, yeah. I agree with you that there's some basic questions to be asked. And I'm guessing that maybe, just maybe, we'll have another special rapporteur appointed, because I understand that the Prime Minister's dog walker is looking for some additional cash.
Oh, that wasn't nice. That's the latest news on interference into Canadian elections and the process, right? By outside interlocutors.
It's just another, I don't know. Anyway, we don't want to get into the negative stuff.
No, because you know what? Outside of our little bubble here, known as Canada, no one knows what the heck we're talking about anyway.
Oh, that's, yeah.
So our international audience will
I do encourage our
tune out.
To query new Canadian passport on the web, and please provide some comments back. If you think it's a good idea, or you don't think it's a good idea, or you want to laugh out loud, you're not going to offend me.
Well, it's I guess just really why, you know, what drove the great thinkers in the halls of government to come up with this gem?
Well, great thinkers in government is kind of like an oxymoron, right? But I'm
careful.
Thinking
we used to be those government people, you know.
Somewhere along the line, somebody's making money off of this, and I guess it goes back to the current leader's outlook that we shouldn't be having all this old history portrayed on any of our official documents or our official websites or anything else. I don't know. Anyway.
While you were away, you missed the new crown too, because you know, Charles III apparently approved the new crown that's on the various patches and documents and whatever that government people wear. They removed any symbols of religion or history from it and replaced it with stars and snowflakes.
Well, I won't say anything there, because I'd probably get into big trouble.
But yeah, we got to watch it. This is because we have a new rule coming out about who can watch our stuff, because the government is going to be introducing, oversight groups on the internet, which is a whole other discussion we can have. But
yes, it sure is. It sure is. Putting way too much power into the hands of the government. But
well, how would they? I don't understand how any government, not just here in Canada or the U.S., can manage the information flows on the internet. For people who've traveled abroad into countries that are authoritarian or dictatorial, the internet offers no use, because you can't even go to any website or information source that the government doesn't approve of. So, you know, if you travel in the Middle East, you'll find that if you want to go on sites that the particular government or the country you're in doesn't like the social, economic, or cultural view of a particular website in another country, you just can't get to it, because the ISPs basically block it, and a VPN won't help you. You simply cannot go to these sites. And I'm thinking that, is it possible that some of the geniuses who are dreaming up this stuff over here have had experience in some of those other countries and said, hey, we can do the same thing. You know, we can control the flow of information by basically blocking the flow of information. Moreover, we connect that with the digital currency, and it, we really got you behind the eight ball, because not only will you not see anything, you won't have any money to buy anything.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to our infamous leader's comment of who he admires the most, and we know what kind of government that is. So
yeah, well, and if you don't speak up, then you're going to find that you didn't speak up in time, and now they're knocking on your door. Yeah, I find that some of this stuff is very scary, because if you had any relatives that lived through the dark days of the communist regimes from 45 to 90 in Eastern Europe, you know, when people in leather jackets would knock on your door at 3 o'clock in the morning, and your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your aunt or uncle was taken away, never to be seen again, because the state was doing the right thing. You know, we seem to have forgotten that when we have this authoritarian streak that's developing at the moment about.
Well, it goes part and parcel with that famous line in history. You know, if you don't study history, you don't understand history, you're bound to repeat it. And it seems to me that there's a lot of governments around the world that are whitewashing, downplaying, rewriting. It's scary.
Yeah, and the world is really changing very rapidly, in front of our eyes, so to speak. You know, the impact of the last couple of years is when I see a two punch sort of impact. First, there was the pandemic, which globally was quite influential, if you will, on people's thinking. And now in the last year, more than a year, this crisis war in Ukraine has also changed a lot of things in terms of the approach to war and peace. And we have people running around who seem to think that the unthinkable is thinkable. And I'm going, what planet are you living on where you think nuclear war is a winnable thing? And there's actually people talking like this, and you're like, crazy. And getting involved in areas were until now you just didn't talk about that because it was so ridiculous. And yeah. I guess a third punch is which is in our kind of wheelhouse historically and otherwise, is there's absolutely no sort of system anymore for the management of migration. It seems to be that to challenge anybody at a border today is simply not permitted, because there must be some law you're breaking, morally or otherwise. I think when you look at what's happening throughout the G7, G7 countries are the targets of all kinds of malfeasance that's associated with migration, broadly speaking, whether it's bogus refugees or millions of undocumented migrants. The whole approach is not traditional anymore. It's all about, I feel that it's a terrible thing, and I don't want to be thinking about this. I mean, it's all emotional as opposed to legal or practical.
Yeah, we've talked about it before, and I'd have to say, if I was on the other end of the stick, I would probably be doing my damnedest to get someplace where I would feel safe. However, I still can't. I can't, in my own mind, justify the fact that you are becoming self-selected immigrants. You're removing a whole bureaucracy, a whole established set of criteria because of what you feel would be best. And
one of the reasons I say it's an uncontrolled or non-illogical approach is if you look at one of the headlines from our friends over at Border Hawk News, they're saying the Americans are going to end DNA testing at the border, which was a key element of finding out if people were actually related when they did sponsorships of family or kids that are lost. They don't want to do that. You know, they're going to end DNA testing. Like, on what basis then do you find out if there's someone who's being bringing in kids who aren't their own for nefarious purposes? Like, who dreams this stuff up?
Well, again, I can understand both sides of that. One is, yeah, you need to have some kind of testing, some kind of proof, some kind of definitive proof. But on the other side of that, would you be willing to give that kind of information to a government? You know? Yeah, I don't know what the answer to that one is.
Yeah, but they're saying that 30% of family migration is fraudulent. You know, there's no relationship between the kids and the adults, apparently, who are saying, bringing in these children. Why would you do that? Why would you be interested in bringing in minors who have no familial tie to you? Like, what would be the purpose here?
Well, you worked overseas in your former life, as I did, and there used to be the thing called the paper family that was two or three generations of documentation to prove that so-and-so was your child or not, and the end goal was to get that child here so that they could sponsor their real parents. It's not a new tactic, and maybe that's the idea behind this familial DNA testing. Yeah. It'd be pretty hard to do that, but then what do you do with the adoptive child? You know,
well, it ends up being the responsibility of the community, the host community at large. You know, and we're not prepared to do that in any community that I'm aware of. At least not in this country. I'm not sure if it's much different in the U.S. So who's going to take on all these kids that come from, cultures and backgrounds that aren't common to the communities are being dumped on? You know, I mean, you've got school boards that have to come up with 15, 20 different kinds of languages, dialects of even other of languages, simply to be able to teach kids.
Well, yeah. It goes back to what we were talking about just a minute or two ago. If you don't study history, you don't understand history, you're bound to recur it in it. You and I, in our government background, have known the cyclical nature of things, right? Just because it was done in 1982 and didn't work doesn't mean that it won't work in 2022 or 2023, but the probability is that it didn't work for a reason. And
well, exactly.
A lot of governments.
Yeah. Well, human nature was the same way back when as it is today.
To begin with. But a lot of governments, they rush through things to try and fix something and then find out that they have to go back and amend things because by fixing something, they've broken something else. Nobody sits through a process anymore to map out or to think or to document best case, worst case, medium case. Let's just put this in. And we had that out here in BC with the current provincial government, who decided that there's a housing shortage and a lack of low-income housing. So if you live in a community that prohibits you from renting out your property because of certain regulations, that that was out the window. Well, the homeowners associations and various levels of the province got together and said, well, we'll just make ourselves a 55 plus organization and that will solve the matter, which it did. But then there were people who had been in certain townhomes that were under 55 and wanted to have children. And now, nope, you have to leave your home because, so, you know, the government should have thought this through, but now they had to hold discussions and amend the bill that they put in less than 2 months ago. You know, it's like a make work project.
Yeah, well, they're not thinking through what a particular change in policy does when it becomes regulation or law. That's not unusual, but I mean, here what you just described is not something that happens in isolation. It happens all the time in lots of different areas where a small problem is resolved and a larger problem is created, or an irritant is fixed so that it's no longer an irritant to the majority of the people who had that problem, whatever that might be. And then all of a sudden you find later on down the road that created something that no one had anticipated, which is no longer just an irritant for a small group of people, but for a larger element of the population. I think that the tax code, for example, in developed countries is a classic example of how you screw things up for the majority after a while, simply by coming up with little bits of pieces of legislation that give a break to some group that is a squeaky wheel in the tax system, you might say, and then others are paying the price for it. And you're saying, well, why is it becoming so expensive for me to live while my neighbor has all these write-offs? Well, yeah, okay, because somewhere along the line, that money has to come from somewhere. And so then there's another set of regulations or whatever they're created, which solve the problem, the issue of the complainant from the first point. First, you know, the party, the first party becomes the party, the second party becomes the party, the third party. So, you know, the tax code in developed countries, the immigration naturalization laws, they've all become so cumbersome and unwieldy and almost people don't know what you're talking about half the time, you know, can't understand it. And that's the result of the sort of thing we're talking about where, yeah, you fix this, but you cause this problem. And, you know, once a piece of regulation or law is passed and goes into force, undoing those things is almost impossible. I mean, you know, there are laws on the books from the 1800s that should have been removed. Yes. And you teach this in law school, but you know, this law still is on the books. You know, you can't beat a horse on a Wednesday afternoon sort of thing. Yeah. But it's okay to beat him on a Thursday morning.
Yeah, it's it becomes its own cottage industry. And try as you might, in our current society and the way we are headed and thinking, I don't see it changing anytime soon. Even a change of government doesn't seem to have a drastic ability to change the course of anything. You know,
I think what has a drastic impact is stuff done in the background without people paying attention. You know, the Ukraine war is a classic example of all sorts of things happening in the background, which we might end up having a colossal world event here over something that's very regional. I mean, you know, so with all due respect to the folks in Ukraine and this horrible situation, you know, the rest of the world has other things to do. This is I know it sounds terrible. It's not that you don't have any compassion, and you and but it becomes an issue of this is not my problem. Okay, you're dragging me into a problem I don't want to be part of. And there's a lot of this sort of talk that goes on, and under the radar, so to speak, it happens, and all of a sudden, you know, a small regional conflict could become a global catastrophe, only because people aren't paying attention or don't, you know, want to pay attention, or are driven by emotion as opposed to logic and common sense. You know, so yeah. It's we do have an awful lot of that sort of going around these days, I think the other big problem we have, I think we talk about this probably more often than not, is the absence of leadership that everybody kind of coalesces around. There's not a lot of leaders in the world that have a large backing of the population of the country or the region that they supposedly represent. I mean, name some for me.
Yeah. Well, if you and I ran things, things would be totally different, but
I don't think so. Free beer on Fridays. it is what it is. By the way, just to let you know, we and the readers and the listeners, I did the final version of the history of Border Pull. Well, which if anybody wants to read it or hear about it, you can go to Spotify. But we're starting to go into our new business model. We're going to start having people have to subscribe to the various research things that we do and they will publish, because as much as we like to do this, we have to pay the bills, and short of having some commercial sponsors, which we'd be happy to get, we do have to pay for the bandwidth on these things. So if people want to know sort of the ins and outs of the last 10 years of how we got to where we're today and why we do what Bob and I do in this fashion, that's where the story is. And we'll do other ones. We're looking at doing some interviews with people who are of interest to us in the community. So we're working on having some of those folks come on board. And some of those will be subscriber-based as well, because it takes time and money to do some of these things. And as much as we want to be providing this to the community for free, some things we just can't do. So a warning to everyone that is coming.
Unfortunately,
especially when you know, if a week from now the U.S. defaults.
what's an old saying? Money isn't the only thing in life, but nobody can tell me what's in second place.
Yeah.
If you don't have money, little things, just like the ability to make our podcast kind of disappears. The ability to put it onto the into the net disappears.
And we have to be cognizant of the fact that these costs are rising, number one. Number two, if we're going to remain on the air, so to speak, given some of the restrictions that are being dreamt up by various government agencies on what you can do and say on the internet, all these, it's part of the research that we have to do, and to be cognizant of what we have to do in order to move forward. So, you know, spoiler alert to those who are listening or watching, our business model has to change in order to stay in business, so to speak. And as much as, like I said, you know, we want to do this as a continuing as a nonprofit and, you know, observer of the scene, particularly the human mobility scene, migration issues, refugee issues, border security issues, etc. We're going to have to find some ways to maintain the financial viability of what we do. Because we're into our second year now, and we're not, we don't have a, you know, a sponsor that's willing to cough up the cost of the bandwidth, you know. So we'd be happy to hear from some organization, corporate body that would like to, you know, just to manage the costs. Otherwise, it's subscriber-based, and, you know, if you'd like to participate and be part of our community, you have to pay the minimum is 99 cents on Spotify. If you want to hear those things monthly, it's really not a big fee, I don't think. But
yes, well, it would be nice to have a very rich benefactor somewhere. But
well, you as the secretary treasurer, you know, should find one. But hey,
yeah, well, I keep on investing that money into the lotto, but it just hasn't panned out.
I know, we gotta come up with a better business model. I mean, the casino absolutely doesn't pay off.
Yeah, maybe one day I might be surprised and I might win, but
yeah, and then I won't see you, right?
I'll send you a telex from some non-extradition country.
Anyway, it's so that's just something that we're hinting, I guess, openly, that we're going to be looking at moving to a more sustainable financial base here. Mm-hmm. So, but that's just the way it is. And by the way, you know, there are tens of thousands of videos and podcasts that we compete with too around the world. So, it's, you know, we're glad that people tune in and listen to our goings on once a week. But, you know, it's as much as it's a labor of love, the labor has to be paid for along the way. You know, we
have, yeah, it does. But anyway, yeah, I'm sure things will work out. They yes always do.
Yes. And we want you to, what they say on the, on YouTube, you hit the bell and you hit the like button. On Rumble, I don't know where the like button is. Oh, and by the way, if we do find that there are episodes that going forward that are truncated on YouTube, you can always watch it on Rumble where it stays. The entire episode stays as it was recorded. We have little control over YouTube's AI system, which seems to, I don't think we've had any problems yet, but others have noted that what happens is if it's some area that their AI doesn't like as part of their policy for retransmission, it just cuts it off. At the moment, we're not seeing that happen to us on either Rumble or YouTube, but if you do find that there's something cut off on YouTube, you can watch this exact same broadcast on Rumble or listen to it on the podcast. And I don't think we've had Spotify change anything along the way.
Well, we would hope not anyway.
No, I'm trying to.
If our viewers are noticing that, let us know.
Yeah,
I'd sure know that. Yeah.
Well, I don't think we're into that much controversy, but I noticed that the whole sort of media world is very much concerned with the manipulation of the sources of information. I mean, what we talk about is two guys going on about something that's happened in the past week, but other more intense podcasts or videos are targeted. And it's whether it's because they're targeted for political reasons or you know, other, mostly political, I think. We're not into that. But, you know, we might question things that various administrations might not like.
And we are just, after all, two old guys, so.
Yeah. Speak for yourself.
Pretty soon.
Two old guys. Anyhow, what's our timing like here? We got, it says we're up to our last 2 minutes or so. What's on the agenda for next week?
Well, I think we should be keeping an eye on the issues of foreign election interference. It seems to be a big one here. I'm sure it probably just doesn't relate to Canada.
No.
I have no idea. There's just so much that goes on. You know, you and I have touched on it before. Some of the stuff you just cannot make up because it's right out there and available. So.
Yeah. Well, certainly the default issue to the south of us, you know, that's more than just the United States that's going to be affected. If they default on their payments, the ramifications of that are really unknown at this point, but they're not good ones, I'm quite sure. And of course, the business of the US dollar stopping to be the currency of the world as a consequence, which is already happening because of the policies of the Fed and the other countries, primarily China, Brazil, India, and Russia, saying, you know what, we want gold-backed money and fiat currencies that are created by the U.S., which is basically a printing press for their programs, have downloaded to other countries and saying, no, thank you, we don't need that. So the petrodollar, the whole business of the world reserve currency, you know, things are changing. So anyway, that's for next week, I think.
Yes, there's lots and lots and lots of stuff to think about. So,
all right, till then, everybody stay safe, stay well.
See you. Have fun. Talk to you soon.